Well, as you know, we have been going through the talking about the Spirit for some time. We've been talking about the benefits of the Spirit a little bit, but more so the potential of the Spirit in God's people when we embrace and when we allow the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And last week, even though I kind of brushed over Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we're going to look at that today. The benefits, the fruits of the Spirit. So if you've got your Bible, that's where we're going to be. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Really, really short little passage, but really, really good. Here's what it says, New King James Version. But the fruit of the Spirit. You might be wondering, first of all, so Jim, what's that mean? What does the fruit of the Spirit mean? Friends, it simply means if we have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God wants to take up residence in us. He wants to give us direction and guide us and counsel and comfort and all that stuff. And when He really takes up residence in us, we are, as Paul says, a new creation. It's a new day. And so when it says the fruit of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God taking up residence in you, taking up residence in me, it's real. It's not just a verse or two in the Bible. This is real. The Holy Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit wanting to indwell us is real. And He really wants to help us with these particular categories. Our Awana kids have learned a song. It's called The Fruit of the Spirit. And so our Awana children, whether they remember these verbatim or not, I think they do remember the song. And they sing about the fruits of the Spirit. But here it is. What is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love. It's joy, it's peace. New King James and King James says long-suffering, that simply means patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Some of your Bibles will say meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so you see, friends, these are tangible, these are realities from the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I've been thinking about these for this last week, and I've been wondering to myself, what are some obvious signs in my life? Or what are some obvious signs, perhaps, in your life that we're letting the flesh lead us rather than the Spirit? Remember last week we looked at Galatians 5:16. Paul said, "So I say to you, be led by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh." And so I've been thinking for myself this week, and perhaps you can ask yourselves, what are some obvious signs that flesh is still leading me in life? You know, we can refer to the things that we referred to last week, but beyond that, I guess I'm asking it this way, what is the opposite of these fruits of the Spirit? Think about that for a moment. Am I going around life all mad, sad, angry, unloving? That would be the opposite of love. That's what I've been thinking about these last few days. What are obvious signs in my life or the life of the church that is real evidence that we're being led by the flesh versus the Spirit? And so that's what I want us to think about this morning. Those signs that indicate to me, you know what? I'm not very full of love. I'm not very full of joy. I'm not very full of peace a lot of times. Think of those things that are opposite of that, and is that what leads us? Is it the flesh still leading us where the Spirit really wants to, even in these categories? And so I want us to think about these characteristics for a few minutes. And while we're thinking about the opposite of these characteristics, love, joy, peace, patience, and these, if it's the opposite that's leading us, then our flesh is still winning the battle. Our flesh is still taking control instead of us allowing the Holy Spirit to develop these characters in us. You know, when I think of goodness, for example, when I think of goodness, at least this is applicable to me, goodness to me means helping somebody else, being good to somebody else, whatever. The opposite of that is what we've been talking about for a month, thinking about self only. And so think of those characteristics, think of those fruit of the Spirit, and then think of their opposites and ask yourselves, is that what still leads me? Because if it is, the flesh is still winning the battle. Let me ask you, friends, wouldn't you rather be led by these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit? Wouldn't you rather have more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness? Wouldn't you rather have that? That's not a trick question, by the way. Wouldn't you rather be filled with these things rather than selfishness and pride and anger and bitterness and resentment and all that stuff? I think we really would. And I just want to remind us that these are all so available. These Holy Spirit fruits are all so available. And I'm going to pick just some of them out of here, and I want us to think about them for a minute and just think, does this really bear fruit in my life? Think of joy for a moment. I was thinking of Isaac this last Wednesday. Isaac spelled joy all over him. You know why? Because Isaac and Lindsay had a new baby. It's Isaac's first child. And his Facebook messages, the conversation, it spelled joy. We've experienced joy. At least I hope we have. Maybe it's when you came to Christ. Maybe it's when your first one was born, or your second, or maybe it was when your last one was born. But you've experienced joy. And this, I'm just saying, brothers and sisters, these are real. These are not just, they heighten that occasion for Isaac and Lindsay like this last Wednesday. But this joy, this love is available to us every day. It doesn't have to just be an occasion here or an occasion there. I tell you, I've had the chance to talk to some people about Jesus, and some of them God has put on my heart, and I've had to talk to them a good long time, sometimes into the years. And when they come to know Jesus Christ, I sometimes drive away with tears of joy. Just a new joy all over again, because I know they've given their hearts and their lives to Jesus Christ. And so I'm just saying, this kind of joy, friends, is available through the Holy Spirit of God. If we will just let the Spirit lead us in the direction that He wants us, this love and this joy, this is real. This is real from the Holy Spirit of God. And so, I don't know about you, but I would rather walk in joy than in sorrow. I would rather walk in love than in madness and anger and unloving all the time. And these are very real benefits from the Holy Spirit of God. And I, for one, am very thankful they're available to us, because it just makes life a whole lot better, I believe. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and the adversary was trying to steal their joy. You know what? That's a reality too. The Bible says the adversary came to kill, steal, and destroy, and he will try to steal your joy if you allow it. Oftentimes, after we've had a great high of some kind, a great spiritual high, or a great victory of some kind, the adversary comes along and tries to kick the chair of joy right out from under you. But the Holy Spirit hasn't left you. The joy hasn't left you. The adversary may try to kick the chair of joy out from under you, but you can still have joy. I think you get the idea. I just want to, like I said, I just want to mention some of these. And I want you to think, do I experience this? Genuine love when somebody isn't too lovable to me. Genuine joy, even if it wasn't my first child being born. Genuine joy. How about peace? You know what, brothers and sisters? Peace is one of those wonderful benefits from the Holy Spirit of God. I can give you an example. They're not here today, but I can give you an example of a couple that's filled with the peace. That's Dave and Diane Bushell. Dave is suffering, you know that, with cancer, and they have days, of course, that are heavy. They have days, of course, that are difficult, and they have questions just like all the rest of you, and just like the rest, just like I do. But friends, they experience a peace that has not come from human beings. You still with me? The Holy Spirit of God says, I will give you peace. Jesus said, I will give you peace, not like the world gives. And they're experiencing this peace even in the valley of the shadow of death. We can experience peace. How and why? Because God loves you. His Son has died for us. He has sent His Holy Spirit to us. And even in the tumultuous tornadoes of life, the Holy Spirit of God has not left us, and His peace can still be there with us. And so I just wonder, are we experiencing these benefits of the Holy Spirit? I love that one about peace because there's so much that's not peaceful around us. Isn't there? There's so much that's not peaceful. And yet, if we have trusted Christ as Lord, He's the Prince of Peace. And the Holy Spirit said one of the benefits from the Spirit is peace. And I wonder if we're really experiencing that peace today, friends. I wonder if we really are. And if we're not, may I just suggest that you say, Lord, I need you. I need you in a new way. I need to surrender myself to you in a new way because I would really, really like to feel your peace. It's available to us, brothers and sisters. If we've never trusted in Christ as Lord, it isn't going to be the same kind of peace. But if we have, that peace that passes understanding is available to us. Friends, you know, we'll really know if we have peace when tragedy strikes. You ever thought about it? We'll really know if we have the Prince of Peace and we have the Spirit's peace when tragedy strikes. Oh, of course there's heartache. Of course there's pain. Of course there's questions. But in spite of all of that, out of the ashes of your pain will rise up the peace that only comes from the Holy Spirit of God. You believe it? It's real, friends. These attributes of the Holy Spirit are real. And I know that we go through tragedies of different kinds. And I know we go through difficulties, and I'm not trying to minimize anybody's. But out of the ashes of your pain, when tragedy strikes, the Holy Spirit of God wants to give you that peace that does not come from human beings. It only comes from the Savior. It only comes from God. It only comes from His Spirit. That peace that just seems to rise up in spite of all the hurt and all the ugliness around us. Out of those ashes of pain, once again, you feel that peace. Isn't that wonderful? That's a benefit of the Holy Spirit of God. I just think these things, these benefits are so wonderful, friends. I wonder sometimes, can we genuinely display patience? That's a fruit of the Spirit. I wonder, can we do that? Do we do it? Can we genuinely display patience? This translation says long-suffering, but it means patience. When things aren't going well, you're late to the football game and the light just turned red. You stand there hammering on the steering wheel. Or the umpire at the baseball game just made a bad call. How patient are we? Or the referee at the football game? Can we genuinely display patience with our neighbor when they haven't been all that lovable to us? These are attributes, these are benefits of the Holy Spirit of God. And if we are filled with the Spirit of God, remember what Paul said, Galatians 5:16, we looked at it last week, so I say to you, be led by the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The flesh is going to help us be impatient. People say to me, Jim, I pray for patience all the time. Good. You know what's going to happen then? You're going to get an opportunity to exercise patience. If we pray for patience, God's probably going to give us a chance to exercise patience. How do you suppose we're going to get better at patience? If we're challenged and we want to go to be impatient, we're going to get better if we're not impatient. It's just like exercising our muscle. The more you use that, the stronger you're going to get. And so if you pray for patience, God's probably going to give you an opportunity to see just how good your patience is. I'm just saying, friends, these are real. These are not just words. These are real. These are very real benefits of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when I think about kindness, let me ask you this. When was the last time you genuinely saw an act of kindness? Think about that for a second. And then I'd like you to think about when was the last time you were genuinely involved in an act of kindness. These are Holy Spirit attributes. These are Holy Spirit benefits. We should be kind because that's being led by the Spirit. This idea about goodness and kindness, what a wonderful place it would be if that's what shaped us, even in the church house. Kindness and goodness. When was the last time you were involved in one of those acts? Not to pat yourself on the back or to pat me on the back, but when did God use you in a way that you could be kind to somebody or you could be compassionate and gentle to somebody? Those are Holy Spirit attributes. And if you can't think of a time when you were kind to anybody, at least it's been too long ago, then perhaps you could just say, Lord, I'd really like to see that attribute, that benefit, rise up again in me. Help me to be kind to somebody. You know, we probably all learned that little verse at some time from 1 Thessalonians 5:15. It says, be ye kind one to another. Haven't we learned that? We didn't even have to go to church and we learned that. That's reality. Be kind to one another. That's a Holy Spirit attribute. And so, friends, I'm just saying that these are real, and they can be real in your life. They can be real in mine. And I just wonder if we're letting the Holy Spirit have that kind of freedom. I just wonder if we're letting the Holy Spirit have that kind of freedom in our lives, or we're still just powered by self. We're still just being led by the flesh. Could you imagine what a difference it would be in the atmosphere of every church if all of us were experiencing these qualities, these benefits from the Holy Spirit? Could you imagine? You say, well, Jim, our church is doing pretty good. Praise God for that. I hope that we are here, and I hope that they are in the next one and the next one. But could you imagine the atmosphere of the church if every believer would allow the Holy Spirit of God to have this kind of way in our lives? Could you imagine the peace, the contentment, the gentleness, the patience? I think that's a pretty picture. I think that'd be a very pretty picture. You know what, friends? I've said this before, but the Holy Spirit fruits are available to every single one of us having trusted Christ as Lord. Now, let me just step back and say, if we have not trusted Christ as Lord, these benefits are not available. Jesus makes that clear in John 14:7. We've got to start by surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're ever going to have that kind of peace, that kind of patience, that kind of self-control. We didn't talk about that one yet, did we? If we're ever going to have those benefits, it's because we have surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. If we have never done that, we're never going to experience these kind of benefits from the Holy Spirit. Jesus is real clear about that. And so I'm just wondering, is it the flesh that's still leading me? Or the Holy Spirit of God in everyday living? You know what? When I think about these fruits, they're really supernatural. You agree? These are really supernatural. Because I'm not going to generate no kind of peace in my life if I'm just walking with the world. These are really a supernatural thing. Let me ask you to think about for a second, because I have spent a fair amount of time with some of these victims. How does a rape victim or an abuse victim ever have any kind of peace outside the supernatural Holy Spirit of God? It doesn't happen. These are supernatural benefits of God. The Spirit of God wants to lay these all on us and allow us to be filled with His Spirit and to walk in life with these fruits being displayed. How do we cope with the loss of our spouse or our children or our best friend or our parents or whatever it is without the benefit of this peace of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know how we do it. How are we able to be patient with a world and a government that's throwing God out of everything? How are we going to do that without the Holy Spirit? Because we're not very patient people without the Holy Spirit, are we? I'm not the only one here, I'm pretty sure of that. That gets frustrated when somebody cuts you off in traffic, or the light's too long red, or the umpire's made the bad call. I'm not the only one that's not patient, I'm pretty sure of that. How are we ever going to be patient the way the Holy Spirit of God wants us if we're just going about our own strength and letting flesh lead us? We're never going to be patient the way God wants us to be if we don't let His Spirit lead us. And so, friends, these benefits are just so available. Just so available. When I think of gentleness, a lot of people right here in this congregation this morning come to mind. I thank God for that attribute in you. Gentleness. Gentle people. Because you're letting God lead. I think of Les and Karen Kreider when I think of gentleness and a lot of you. And then there's one left that I just want to mention before we go to communion. How are you doing in that self-control? You say, Jim, what am I supposed to self-control? Well, whatever comes to mind. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's resentment. Maybe it's overeating or overdrinking or overspending or overwatching TV or over this or over that. I don't know what it is. But a fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And brothers and sisters, I've heard it directly from people that have been caught up in addictions. If you don't control it, it controls you. One of the benefits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And maybe it's just my retaliatory thoughts that I've got to get a handle on. Maybe somebody's been mean to me or my kids and it's my retaliatory thoughts I've got to get self-control over. Maybe it's a behavior. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's something completely. You and the Lord know that. Maybe it's going along with the crowd. The crowd keeps going this way, and while it's just easier, maybe that's where our self-control. I don't know what application you may have, but self-control, brothers and sisters, is a fruit of the Spirit. And let me just say this before we close, because we're going to prepare for communion. If we're having a whole lot of trouble exercising or allowing these benefits of the Spirit to really rise up and be prominent in our lives, maybe it's time we surrender a little more of ourselves to Jesus. Maybe it's a time we surrender a little more of ourselves to the Holy Spirit's leading. Because these are real. These are real benefits from the Holy Spirit of God. And so if there's a couple of those that maybe you struggle with a little bit, maybe you got to do like I do and surrender that area and say, Lord, I haven't been very gentle. I haven't been very patient, but I'd sure like to be. Will you help me in that regard? Will you lead me into be a better example of your Holy Spirit and your Son Jesus? Maybe that's what you got to do too, brothers and sisters, because every now and then I do. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and now would be a good time to do that. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we're going to prepare for communion. And one of the things that Paul says as we prepare for communion is to examine ourselves. And so let's take a couple of minutes in silent prayer to examine ourselves and let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you. And maybe one of those attributes that really hasn't been shining too good in your life, maybe He'll speak to you about that. And you can just ask for forgiveness and ask for His help. Let's examine ourselves in preparation for communion.